Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program whose warnings just may save your life. This is Lou Caverly. It's Thursday, May 19th.
And this is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
Part 3 of our series on May, Tyrants and Terrorists. For parts 1 and 2, May 5th and 12th, visit our archives to listen to those programs at DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tyrants and tyranny are getting closer and closer to the time when you may be threatened, as the people in Australia were, by imprisonment in your own home. Last week, we read part of an article about the terrible reality of the Shanghai citizens shut in their domiciles. Let's begin with that full article, and then an update. So from Great Game India, dated April 30th, 2020, the headline, China builds cages around homes to prevent Shanghai residents from leaving, even if they don't have COVID. The Chinese government has prevented Shanghai residents from leaving, even if they don't have COVID, by building green cages around their homes. In the world's strictest lockdown, Chinese civilians have been detained in their own homes as authorities build barriers around their homes. Shanghai residents awoke to find green walls constructed overnight by authorities to restrict people's movement as the city suffers its worst coronavirus outbreak since the pandemic began. Those who have walls around their homes, enclosing them in a sealed area, are unable to leave their homes, whether or not they have the virus.
And also the article says, due to a surge in COVID cases, Shanghai's 25 million residents have been confined for weeks, with 21,000 new cases reported on Sunday, April 24th. That day, the virus killed 39 people in the city. Social media has been flooded with images of officers in white hazmat suits scouring the city and enclosing specific areas with green fencing. And I'm interjecting again, this is Elizabeth, we think that the idea of everything being painted green, the fencing, the pods, it's a salute to the Global Reset Gang with the green climate change idea, the symbol of tyranny. Back to the article, Shanghai's people have already been pushed to their limits by the extremely severe lockdown, as babies and young children have been separated from their parents under existing restrictions. People were also surprised by the latest move, which involves erecting 2-meter-high green fences surrounding buildings where at least one person has tested positive for COVID to create, quote, sealed areas. That term, sealed.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking.
You know, I thought of Jesus in the tomb, sealed,
yeah.
But he arose, and we give testimony to Jesus Christ, our living, risen Savior, and he's at work. Perhaps Roe versus Wade will be overturned. Back to the article, this change, you see, I'm still interjecting, the article says it caught residents off guard as they were unaware of the new rule until they awoke to find the barriers. Now, we're going to interrupt this article to say that you must be prepared. The Bible says that the prudent man prepares. And it's so important. God released Lou from his teaching job. And, of course, that's making a hardship financially for us as our debts grow. But when I went into the Bible, as some of you longtime listeners know, God showed me the passage, the righteous man is taken away from the evil to come. No, Lou did not succumb to COVID and maybe mandatory COVID shots in his teaching venue. No. And we really want to stay on air, and we had very slack help this week. But, you see, we had help from that wonderful doctor in Pennsylvania who, though he was basically jobless, just getting hit and miss little part-time times that he could go into the emergency room, he may have a real job lined up that God is going to provide for his faithfulness in helping all of you. We also want to do our very best to stay on air a long time because, as I pointed out to Lou, we have a listener, and she is now a widow, who has helped us probably since the year 2006 with $100 a month. Now, this is quite a sacrifice for someone that long. And I said, figure that out. How much has she donated to the divided kingdom? And this is in years when none of the listeners helped us, till Captain Daryl Everhart came on, as I've mentioned before, in 2017, and he pleaded for the listeners to help us, because it's not right for two people, really three people, with that listener that I'm mentioning helping us through all these years. So we really do ask you to pray, and if the Lord tells you that you can spare some help and that you should do this, because there are very few uncontrolled programs. They're all getting big sponsors, and then they change. And then you can't even find the ones that are on the Internet unless you join something or you give them your email. So, you know, it's really important. And so when Lou figured up what this lady had given us, Lou, it was almost $20,000.
That's right. So generous.
So we're asking specifically, we only have about 2 weeks left. We must have $250 for WWCR. If there's someone out there who can write a check made out to WWCR for $250, please do it. If there's someone out there who wants to remain anonymous, we have some wonderful helpers who've done this. Just make out a money order, and you can make it out to WWCR. And you can send some cash. We have a lot of other bills, and we're being swamped. Lou just paid the post office box rent. He decided to only pay for half a year, and that was $49. He just renewed the smartphone. How much was that? About 70?
That's about 70 every month.
Every month. See, these are expenses that you don't think about. Then we have the hours of time in writing the script that we need and finding the articles. Lou is a wonderful researcher. So we aren't going to grovel. We aren't going to beg, because God knows his own. And we know that several of you have given very sacrificially. Marjorie is an example. Brenda, you see, these women who don't have much, but they believe that it's very important that a program witnesses to Jesus Christ and brings the hard-hitting truth. So it's up to you, you see, how long we can stay on the air. So we never want you to cheat your family, but I'm sure some of you won't miss $20 or even $40 or $50. And right now, we still have possibly 40 postage stamps, so we're not in dire need yet for that. Our biggest need is for WWCR and looking on some of the other things that we have to do. Okay, so now we're back, and I didn't give you the address, did I? When you want to help us, you can write to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, and that's P.O. Box 28, and that's Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And believe me, we thank the little group of three or four who are very, very faithful. Charlene, Brett, a few others, Brian. We know that their hearts are always with us, and they deeply appreciate what we're trying to do for the Lord. So we won't keep harping at you, because everyone has a choice. God has given us a choice. And as the times around us get worse, you know, I wasn't going to say this today, but, you know, I picked up a couple women's magazines. They used to be women's magazines. I picked up Better Homes and Gardens. And I had been suspecting for some time that the male editor of Better Homes and Gardens was gay. And he finally revealed it, I think, in last month's issue. So, actually, the cover this time had this zany kind of a musician. And, right, I'm not familiar with him because I don't listen to that kind of music. But there he was on the cover, and on his arm was a tattoo of an upside-down cross. Right away, I knew what that would mean. How does that fit in with Better Homes and Gardens? I think they're celebrating their 100th year. And so inside the magazine, the article on him said that his sexuality was a mystery to people, but he does wear dresses. So interesting, isn't it? And then in the middle of all the big pharma ads, too, that have overtaken all these so-called women's magazines, then there was a little retrospective, pictures of families, real nuclear families. One was from the year 1958. You see, they were going back their 100 years. And there was a father and a mother and a little boy and a little girl having an outdoor barbecue. Won't you pray that America will repent, that the ordinary citizens will begin to take a moral stand and turn away from these things? You'd better believe that when these magazines run out, the ones I'm describing, they won't be renewed. Naturally, they won't. God says, come out of Babylon, or we will be like these people in Shanghai with these 2-meter-high green fences surrounding the buildings. If just one person tests positive, then it'll be sealed off. And if you don't wake up morally and do your part, not necessarily sending us money, maybe that's not what God wants, but if you don't do your part, God does not bless you. Now, back to the article. A foreign national told the BBC that a green fence had only appeared surrounding his apartment complex a few days ago. He claims that the complex's main gate was, quote, chained up 3 weeks ago after one of his neighbors contracted the virus.
Quote, there is a long corridor in our compound, and within the long corridor they put up another green fence 3 days ago. No one told us the reason it was installed, the man said to the BBC, requesting anonymity. And he went on to say, no one can get out. I feel helpless. You don't know when the lockdown is going to end. If your area gets fenced off, what if a fire breaks out? I don't think anyone in their right mind can seal people's homes. Unquote. Chris Po, a director of documentaries in China, took to Twitter to explain what locals had been saying. He wrote, We all have heard stories of residents and even entire buildings refusing to go outside for mass testing. Some are fatigued. Others fear that being together brings infection risks. Some think sealed-off entrances like this are to separate these folks. The hope being that other residents of a community would not be punished for the lack of cooperation from a few. This might be wishful thinking. It's usually extremely crowded on sunny weekend afternoons. To see these fences up with little official explanation is confusing a lot of people. Unquote. Shanghai's strict laws and regulations are part of China's zero COVID policy, which aims to eradicate the virus completely. At the start of the pandemic, the number of COVID infections in the country was relatively low. But as variants become more transmissible, the number of cases has risen.
And yes, Lou, we know that some of our listeners are so awake. There's listener Char from the military background who realizes that living off the grid and being ready to invoke the Second Amendment may become necessary to American families to survive. And we again thank Char for helping to keep us on WWCR. Now, here's an update. No end in sight for Shanghai COVID-19 lockdown as CCP, we know what that is, the communist, the China Communist Party, keeps pushing failed zero COVID strategy. This was Thursday, May 12th by Arsenio Toledo and Natural News. Shanghai has entered its seventh week of Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 lockdown, and the city's residents see no end in sight as Beijing keeps pushing the failed zero COVID strategy. Again, they took the headline twice, but it doesn't hurt us to take this in and hear those words, the city's residents see no end in sight. That's what we are seeing as long as Biden is in office and he's the puppet of the globalists. Back to the article. Ever since Shanghai became the epicenter of China's most recent COVID-19 outbreak, it has been under one state of lockdown or another. In many parts of the city of over 26 million people, authorities have warned that even if just one person in an apartment building tests positive for COVID-19, all of its residents could be tagged as close contacts and dragged off to quarantine camps. Related. Now, here's another article you could look for. China censoring videos of people being dragged out of their homes and into quarantine camps. Chinese Communist Party, CCP authorities rolled back some lockdown restrictions in recent weeks, allowing residents to purchase essentials in groceries. But the CCP quickly brought back those restrictions. The tightened restrictions came after Chinese President and CCP leader Xi Jinping addressed the outbreak in Shanghai for the first time following a meeting on May 5th. Xi vowed to win what he called the, quote, battle defending Greater Shanghai, while issuing a warning to anybody who questioned the CCP's zero COVID strategy. Following this announcement, Communist Party Secretary of Shanghai, Li Qiang, ordered officials to, quote, issue military orders at all levels and take more resolute and powerful actions to overcome the great war and great tests, end of quote. Dissent from Shanghai residents increasing. As Shanghai continues to languish under COVID-19 restrictions, the worst affected by the disaster are its residents.
Over the weekend, residents in at least four of Shanghai's 16 districts received notices from the municipal government telling them they are no longer allowed to receive food deliveries or leave their homes. Said one resident, "The virus itself is no longer scary, but the way the government enforced the policy has become the most frightening thing. We had thought the lockdown could be eased this month, but now there's no end in sight," unquote. This prompted a wave of outrage on Chinese social media outlets. The wave of dissent coming from the Chinese internet was so great that even the communist nation's elaborate censors were unable to deal with all of them. And multiple videos on these platforms have gone viral and have since leaked to Western websites. Many of the videos show health workers, colloquially known as Big Whites, due to the all-white hazmat suits, entering the homes of residents without their permission. Some of the videos show the Big Whites bursting into homes to spray disinfectants everywhere. Others show the Big Whites forcibly dragging away people into quarantine camps, supposedly for being COVID-19 positive or for being a so-called close contact of a positive case. The spread of these videos has outraged many Shanghai residents and put into question the legality of entering a person's home without a warrant or permission. Another viral video shows Big Whites ordering residents to be quarantined after one of their neighbors tested positive.
Lou, I have to interrupt. This is an emergency interruption because later we will be talking about how they're trying to sneak something through on the American people, just the way in 1913 they sneaked through the Federal Reserve. They are trying to hook us up with the World Health Organization, the WHO, with some amendments. And Biden is promoting these amendments. These amendments can mean that sometime they will chase you down for mandatory vaccine injections. This is something terrible. It's even worse than the treaty that we talked about, we mentioned, the WHO pandemic treaty. These amendments must be stopped. And I think we will hear about Matt Staver saying that later. They must be stopped. We cannot permit America to become Shanghai. What's next in that article, Lou?
It says another viral video shows Big Whites ordering residents to be quarantined after one of their neighbors tested positive. Said one of these Big Whites in the video, quote, "It's not that you can do whatever you wanted, unless you're in America. This is China. Stop asking me why. There is no why. We have to adhere to national guidelines," unquote. In another video, a Shanghai resident berates Big Whites for forcing people to remain in their homes. The man said, quote, "Let me tell you, you can only use your power with the authorization of law. You have to tell me which items in our country's law allowed you to carry out your public powers today. Therefore, you cannot enforce hard isolation upon us."
And this is a vision of our future here in America. If, number one, many more people don't wake up and realize and know the truth about the death-causing COVID clot shots. Number three, if we do not stand up and oppose the degenerative moral climate that I'm mentioning to you has even come into ladies, so-called ladies' magazines, so much more than that. The pastors who won't talk about abortion, the Protestant pastors, because 50% of the women sitting in their pews have had abortions. We've been hearing all this, and we know that America needs to come to its knees to repent. Now, there's more contact information, isn't there, Lou, there, where
yes.
people can see some of this going on in Shanghai?
Yes, it says you can watch this compilation video showing scenes of everyday life in lockdown Shanghai. The video is from the Alex Hammer, H-A-M-M-E-R, channel on Brighteon.com. And sources for this article include the Epoch Times, or some pronounce it Epoch Times, .com. 12.
Spell that for people.
Yes. The E-P-O-C-H Times.com. And then 12news.com, that's the number 12, not the word 12, the number 12, news.com, theguardian.com, and brighteon.com.
And spell Brighteon once more.
And that is spelled B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N.
And you know, sometime back, Lou, Zero Hedge, another good website, ask a question, are Western leaders literal demons? Tonight, you know, we're talking again about tyrants and the terrorism. And so we're kind of moving toward the portraits of some of these world tyrants. Think how close the name Omicron is to the name of the French president, Macron. Is there another NWO joke on us? And here's WorldNet Daily's headline. French president says he is, quote, opposed to self-defense. After farmer shoots one of four burglars who broke into home. This was WorldNet Daily, April 7th, 2022. And they had picked it up from Summit News. I believe that's Paul Joseph Watson's website. After a farmer was charged with murder for shooting a man, after four burglars broke into his home, French President Emmanuel Macron said people should not have the right to self-defense. Quote, according to the initial investigation, the farmer fired twice with a large caliber rifle at a group of four burglars, killing one of them. The self-defense shooting took place last Friday between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m., and the man was alone with his three-year-old daughter at the time, reports Remix News. However, Macron responded to the story by asserting that the 35-year-old farmer had no right to defend himself or his daughter in such a manner. And then there's a little more. Macron is really on the move. Terrorism, a handmaiden of tyranny, that is part of our focus. And here is more Macron maniacal madness. LifeSite News, Friday, April 29, 2022, by Pierre Bourlevy. Macron launches digital ID in France after re-election, raises fears of social credit system. Participation is optional, but some citizens believe it could lead to China-style surveillance and societal control. Less than a week after French President Emmanuel Macron was reelected, he's already facing backlash after launching a digital ID for citizens. Macron signed the Digital Identity Guarantee Service, SGIN. Again, that's Digital Identity Guarantee Service, SGIN, into a decree on April 26th, less than 48 hours after his victory over nationalist Marine Le Pen in the French presidential election. The SGIN is a project by the French government to create a mobile app that will allow French citizens to access their ID digitally. The project aims at making France, quote, compliant with the European Union Commission's European Digital Identity Package. Though the text of the decree specifies that the use of digital ID, quote, is completely left to the free choice of users, end of quote, some politicians see it as a tool to usher in a Chinese-like social credit system in France. Florian Philippot, founder of French nationalist party Les Patriotes, took to Twitter to denounce the new legislation. Quote, immediately after the election, the government announced the launch of a digital identification app. The goal, to introduce a Chinese-like social credit system, a society of control and surveillance, he tweeted. Let's totally reject this application and fight by any means. And this is Elizabeth interjecting. This is part of a world plan. This is not just France. And now, back to the article, other Twitter users echoed his sentiments. One of them, the Q2 observer, pointed out that, quote, what is optional and trivial at the beginning will be essential and cumbersome in the long term. There should be another word, this is Elizabeth again, mandatory. It'll become mandatory. Quote, he said, this is Q2 Observer again, in France for the moment, soon the same everywhere. Resist, he added. Concerns that digital tools such as the SGIN will be used by Western governments to introduce a social credit system through the back door have also been expressed in other EU countries, including Italy, where a newly released app, the, quote, Smart Citizen Wallet, will be launched in Bologna this fall and will reward some citizens for, quote, virtuous behavior using a point system. Lou, what do you think virtuous behavior is going to ultimately be?
Doing what the government tells you to do. Being obedient, being a nice little boy or girl.
And that smart citizen wallet, you know, we've seen this smart epithet for quite a while now, and it always means dumb. And duped and under the control of Big Brother. That's what it means. Now, the article concludes with saying the re-election of Macron last Sunday triggered massive protests throughout France. And during his first official post-re-election visit, he was pelted with tomatoes in the town of Cergy near Paris.
A later article gives us more details of France's plan. This was from National File, May 1st, by Colin McHugh. France announces digital ID plan days after Macron's re-election. France has announced plans for a national digital ID system just days after President Emmanuel Macron was re-elected. The Digital ID Guarantee Service, SGIN, was signed into law following his victory over Marine Le Pen, which will allow France to be, quote-unquote, compliant with the European Union's digital ID. The French Ministry of the Interior announced that it will be creating a smartphone application to house a new digital identity. The biometric app, which is tied to digital ID movements across Europe, was signed off in a decree by Prime Minister Jean Castex and Interior Minister Gerard Darmanin on Tuesday. The app will allow users to scan their physical ID cards, and it will be uploaded to be used to access public or private services. France's plan builds off a previous effort to introduce a digital ID in 2019. The use of facial recognition technology, as well as the collection of fingerprints, caused intense backlash against the proposal, which was ultimately scrapped. The new system will not collect those pieces of information, but it will record names, date of birth, a photo, and both email and physical addresses. According to the French government, the application, quote, allows the user, in particular, to generate electronic certificates containing only the identity attributes whose transmission he considers necessary to third parties of his choice, unquote. Details on how the new system will be implemented are forthcoming. Those French citizens have grown accustomed to using a digital ID over the last several months. France introduced a vaccine passport system that made digital proof of vaccination a requirement for entry to, quote, non-essential public venues, unquote. That included gyms, restaurants, bars, and outdoor sporting events.
Lou, it's just like the Rahm Emanuel dictum. You create a crisis so you can bring in the solution.
Oh, that's right. And here we have a good crisis. COVID's a good crisis. And I heard on the radio today that in some parts of the USA, COVID seems to be increasing. So we'll wait and see what they use that crisis for. And now getting back to the article, the European Union as a whole is also planning on introducing a digital identity application sometime this year in order to enable people to enjoy the, quote, greater flexibility ideal for post-pandemic life, unquote.
Now remember, listeners, everything Orwellian, black is white is black, so flexibility will mean rigid 3-meter fences coming to your neighborhood soon.
That's an excellent
Please
point.
Tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com because they need to see under breaking news all of the essays that Lou and I have been writing since November of 2021. They have vital information. Go ahead. What about this EU plan? See, it's not just France. It's not just the EU. It is world government trying to come in to embryonic form.
That's just right. The proposal would give citizens of all European Union member states access to a digital wallet that can be used to pay for numerous services. And this is Lou interjecting. I guess that would include the equivalents of the FBI, their CIA-type organizations, but everything big and terrible with Big Brother at last holding the world, not just Shanghai, imprisoned in his tyrannical hand begins with baby steps, gradually normalizing it with comforting propaganda. Propaganda lies, such as the EU goal for a digital identity application coming soon that the EU says will give people, quote, greater flexibility, ideal for post-pandemic life.
Yes, Lou, and our motto is to you listeners, keep cash alive. Keep cash alive.
Oh, yes.
Spend it in your neighborhood and keep prayer alive. We aren't going to get through this without Almighty God's help. Lou, is that the end of that article? You have another one, don't you?
I have another one, yes. Now we'll move to Canada. This is some LifeSite news.
Oh, yes. We have some wonderful Canadian listeners, too.
Yes.
Several of them have helped us, and they're interested in what's going on. They really want us to tell what's going on in their neighborhood, so go ahead.
So now we'll move to Canada. Trudeau touts vaccines while announcing Moderna will build a plant in Quebec. This is by Jack Bingham, as I mentioned, by the LifeSite News, Friday, April 29th. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced that a Moderna vaccine manufacturing plant is set to open in Quebec with the goal of producing up to 100 million messenger RNA doses per year. Trudeau announced Friday on social media this quote, "Vaccines save lives, and it's important that we're able to develop and produce them here at home. Today, we announced that Moderna is building a facility in Quebec, where they'll be able to produce up to 100 million mRNA vaccine doses every single year." He went on to say, "This will create hundreds of good jobs for Canadian workers. It'll also bring Canadian innovation to the front lines of tomorrow's health solutions, better prepare us for future health crises, and grow our economy at the same time," unquote. According to a government report shared by Trudeau, the facility may be operational as soon as 2024. And he went on, I take that back. This is a quote by a different person, Minister of Innovation, Science, and Industry, François-Philippe Champagne. He said, quote, "Today's announcement is yet another example of our promise to Canadians to have that back throughout this pandemic and beyond. From the outset, we took short-term strategic actions with a long-term vision to ensure that Canada is well-prepared for future pandemics, while also strengthening our economy and creating good jobs for Canadians. Moderna, establishing their operations here in Canada, is a testimony to that vision and to Canada's attractiveness as a place to invest and to innovate."
I don't think that's a glass of champagne that should be raised on a Patriot program, do you?
I don't think so.
I think there's something like very rotten in the grapes.
Yeah, it sounds more like a poison.
That's right.
Drink. Despite the Liberal government's Despite the Liberal government's celebration of the new announcement, many Canadians, including doctors and scientists, remain skeptical of the mRNA so-called vaccines' safety, especially considering the thousands of worldwide reports of death and the millions of reports of injury linked to the experimental mRNA COVID jabs.
Yes, Lou, and LifeSite News, and another headline, Friday, May 6th, by Anthony Murdoch. Trudeau denies plane that flew multiple times over Freedom Convoy was spying on protesters. Ottawa, a U.S.-registered aircraft. Oh, did we all hear that? We didn't hear a Canadian-registered aircraft, did we? American Babylon is everywhere, everywhere. And if we don't repent, what will God do as judgment deepens? That's me speaking. That's Elizabeth. Because we have more. There's more coming about Ukraine. All right, a U.S.-registered aircraft flying over the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa on multiple dates in February was confirmed as being used by Canadian Special Forces for surveillance, but government officials deny it was spying on protesters. As reported first by the Globe and Mail on April 22nd, the King Air aircraft was spotted making what are known as flying loops around Ottawa on February 10th. This was at the same time the trucker Freedom Convoy was in Ottawa protesting an end to all COVID mandates. Canada's Department of National Defense said at the time it was conducting military training operations in the area with the plane, but did not say Canadian Special Forces were involved. Now, I'm going to interject. This is Elizabeth. We have to have a long memory with tyranny and terrorists. Remember, they were doing drills at the time of 9/11. These so-called drills, you see, helped to cover up a lot of authentic military surveillance and nefarious actions. Now, back to this article from LifeSite News. According to a recent Ottawa Citizen report, data gathered by Stephen Watkins shows the King Air spy plane, and that's a company there, King and Air, capital A-I-R, spy plane was spotted on multiple occasions. The same report said sources from the military told them Canadian Special Forces were involved. However, the plane was seen flying over the protest on January 28th to 29th, as well as on February 3rd, 10th, and 11th. Recently, the Canadian military announced it was buying three 350ER King Airs, kitted out with the latest in spy surveillance gear in a deal brokered by, oh, oops, are we surprised, the U.S. government. The cost of the planes is $188 million, and according to the military, Canada's Special Forces will not get its plane until this summer. The plane used for, quote, training was from the U.S. Oh, it's like a lend-lease, Lou.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that nice? The planes are said, the article says, to be able to not only surveil and track people and vehicles on the ground with high-powered cameras, but also to intercept people's cell phone calls as well as other radio communications. As reported by the Globe and Mail, Daniel Le Boutillier, head of media relations for the Department of National Defense, claimed the flight was not spying on the Freedom Convoy, but was a, quote, training exercise that was planned prior to. As the flights did indeed coincide with the Freedom Convoy, this caused some Conservative Party of Canada MPs to question the Canadian government why this was the case. And during a debate in the House of Commons on Wednesday, CPC MPs took Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to task over the reports of the spy plane. Trudeau responded by denying the aircraft were spying on the Freedom Convoy, saying it's part of a, quote, training exercise, which was planned prior to and was unrelated to the convoy protest. Quote, what the official opposition is playing with right here is dangerously close to misinformation and disinformation, Trudeau added. Oh, Lou, you told me that Biden's having a little trouble with his disinformation office, that new thing, didn't you?
I did, yes. It appears that that is now on hold and probably will be nixed completely.
Kind of verboten because, what, too many people stood up?
Yes.
Get it?
And they also made the mistake of putting in charge, or proposing to put in charge, a lady, and I can't think of her name now, who has been very political, very biased, you might say, in her political...
Leftist?
Yeah, yeah. And who made some sort of a mocking little song that she recorded, I think herself, on the internet. So it just, you know, all kinds of people on both sides of the aisle were just, you know, outraged.
Now, we need to get more awareness out about these amendments, the WHO amendments, so that the same kind of backlash will occur. Back to this follow-up here, this wind-up of the situation there in Canada, CPC Carrie Lynn Findlay said that the Trudeau Liberals, quote, did not put soldiers on our streets, but they did put them in the air. How can the Prime Minister justify using military assets to surveil, she added. Trudeau said in reply to Lynn Findlay that she was engaging in, quote, conspiracy theories and, quote, disinformation.
And now, from LifeSite News, we have one more article concerning Canada. Trudeau government set to bring back nationwide gun registry, source reveals. This is by Jack Bingham, Friday, May 6th. A source who asked to remain anonymous told LifeSite News that credible information has surfaced indicating the long gun registry will soon be reimposed. The source informed LifeSite News that recent information has come to light indicating that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau or his federal government will reinstate on May 18th the long gun registry, which former Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper scrapped in 2012. While gun ownership is legal in Canada, one has to be in possession of a Possession and Acquisition License, or PAL, in order to buy and own guns. The PAL is divided into two categories, restricted and unrestricted. As of now, only restricted guns, such as handguns, need to be registered. This means that as long as one has a valid PAL, or PAL, they are able to purchase unrestricted guns, including hunting rifles and shotguns, without having the firearm registered and tracked by the government. Under the long gun registry, this would no longer be the case, with a source explaining to LifeSite News that after May 18th, any gun, whether sold privately or through a retailer, would be required to be registered. According to the source, the new registry would put the, quote, onus of registration on the firearm seller, unquote, much like how the mask mandates in the COVID era put the onus on business owners to enforce the government's demands. The source warned, registration is the first step towards confiscation, adding that the end goal is likely a complete disarming of the Canadian population. The Trudeau government has not been secretive about its desire to limit firearm ownership in Canada. After the tragic mass shooting and spree in Nova Scotia in 2020 that left 22 people dead, Trudeau enacted an immediate ban on the sale and use of particular so-called assault-style weapons. And in spite of the fact that the perpetrator of the murders, having used guns he acquired legally. The source describes this type of justification by the Trudeau government as an example of how the Liberal Party, quote, capitalizes on a tragedy to further their agenda, unquote. And I'll just interject, as Elizabeth said a few minutes ago, they are not letting a good crisis go to waste.
And I think that sums up that article pretty well, don't you?
Yes, it does.
And it's this impetus to grab the guns is all through the Western Hemisphere. You know, in April, we had an AP article that began like this, New York. Democrats have spent years pledging to address the gun violence that plagues communities across the U.S., but a surge of mass shootings over the weekend that left dozens wounded and two dead served as a reminder of how little they have accomplished since taking control of Washington 15 months ago. And then the article went on that the almost complete Republican opposition to Democrat priorities, including gun rules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, we have to realize that there was an article back from September 30th, 2021, that should still be reported on because it's more timely than ever, this agenda, this secret agenda to get the guns. And now you see in mid-May, with this latest grocery store shooting in Buffalo, New York, the mass shooting, Mike Adams, on his situation update for May the 16th, had a very brilliant and original analysis of this shooting, finding anagrams that do suggest deep state involvement and takedown forces of America being connected with it. So we'll get into much more of that. It'll be very interesting next week. You'll want to stay tuned into that. But now, what was this article? September 30th, 2021. Here was the headline. It was from the Western Journal by Elizabeth Stauffer. CDC is building gun injury surveillance program at hospital emergency rooms. Our listeners didn't know that, did they, Lou?
No.
I don't think so. And again, if you want to keep us on air, you just send what you can to P.O. Box 28, Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, it's P.O. Box 28, and that is Luke Caverly at Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. The politicization of federal government agencies began in earnest with the Obama-Biden administration and has picked up steam in the Biden-Harris administration. In early August, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky signed an order which extended the moratorium on evictions during the COVID-19 pandemic. A CDC statement said the director had concluded that evictions of tenants for failure to make rent or housing payments could be detrimental to public health control measures to slow the spread of SARS-CoV-2. Now, we interject there that to any thinking person, this was a great governmental overreach by a non-governmental agency. No elected representatives were in charge of these stalled evictions of tenants, but the Jesuit-originated CDC is a hidden force to be really looked at. And so we go on with this article about this new thing the CDC wanted to spark. Walensky now has our Second Amendment rights in her crosshairs. She will tackle gun violence in America, which she considers to be an epidemic. The CDC director signaled her intentions during a late August interview with CNN when she labeled gun violence, quote, a serious public health threat. Quote, something has to be done about this, end of quote. She told CNN, quote, now is the time. It's pedal to the metal time. Quote, the scope of the problem is just bigger than we're even hearing about. And when your heart wrenches every day, you turn on the news, you're only hearing the tip of the iceberg, Walensky said. We haven't spent the time, energy, and frankly, the resources to understand this problem because it's been so divided. Now, this is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly interjecting again. We mentioned that a certain pastor out in Missouri seemed to be retreating into piety and never wants us to bring out information or any alternative news source to bring out information on the dangers of the clot shot deaths. And so it's really important that we do bring out this truth. It's so important because we know that there is this long time lying about some of these orchestrated events. And that pastor brought up Alex Jones and Mike Adams as being evil, evil figures, especially Alex Jones, that he said no children died at Sandy Hook. That's a lie. I can attribute my own ears hearing Alex Jones say one time, I didn't say those children died. And furthermore, I remember when Wolfgang Albig, A-L-B-I-G, I think his name was spelled, he was probably about a 70-year-old man. He came on Alex Jones right after the Sandy Hook episode, and he was a man of great power, I think, in the academic world, and he was highly esteemed. He had a lot of integrity. He would go around as an inspector to schools and make sure things were right. And I don't have that before me right now, but he had a list of 10 strange anomalies, the way the FBI acted, the way certain things were not told to the parents, all kinds of things. Something was very strange. If it wasn't a drill, what was it? And, of course, some children probably did die. We also heard rumors later that some of those so-called parents of the children who died got their mortgages paid off or got homes given to them. See, nothing is the way you think it is, not even Ukraine. It just isn't. So now, after Walensky wanted to do this, we had NPR report that the CDC is now hoping to get a fuller picture of the data and long neglected details on the impact of daily gun violence. The CDC and the National Institutes of Health, where do we not hear about NIH? You know, cooperating with the university, this is Elizabeth, cooperating with the University of Pittsburgh to do Fauci's big transfer of the aborted fetal cell, not fetal cell, the aborted fetuses, scalps, attaching them to rats' scalps. I mean, my goodness, anything evil is practically, you know, it's coming out of NIH. So the CDC, you see, the Jesuit-originated organization and the NIH it said, the NPR said, for the first time in nearly a quarter century, are funding new research on guns to help reduce firearm-related injuries, deaths, crime, and suicides. Now, listen to this. Among several other gun research projects, the CDC is now providing funding to 10 state health departments so they can start collecting data in near real time on emergency room non-fatal firearm injuries. This will allow doctors and epidemiologists to potentially identify trends and craft swift interventions. Now, you gun owners out there, does that going to mean the red flag gun laws, you know, kind of soup up a story that you're crazy, so you have to give up your guns? This is very ominous. And it says, now, back to their interpretation, they were going to potentially identify trends and craft swift interventions, as they have done, to contain the coronavirus pandemic and other national health emergencies. The NPR article goes on to highlight several victims of gun violence to underscore the severity of the problem. Again, this is the Rahm Emanuel thing. You see, they're going to just keep brainwashing the public, hyping up the mass shootings, many of which are orchestrated. And you know, now we must move to something very important. We said we were going to say something about Ukraine. We won't be able to get all of it here tonight, but there's much more coming next week. You'll really want to tune in. This was the Gateway Pundit, Larry Johnson, April 30th, 2022. The headline, Neo-Nazis Fighting for Ukraine Are Real, and Other Updates. Many in the United States have tried to downplay or ignore the fact that the Ukrainian militias that venerate Stepan Bandera sport Nazi symbolism. The following image is from a recently captured Ukrainian fighter shows the truth. The last image is particularly disturbing. This man thought it a good idea to put Mauthausen on his body. What is Mauthausen? It was one of the most notorious concentration camps the Nazis located in Austria. It started processing, quote, processing prisoners in 1938 and was liberated by the U.S. Army on May 5, 1945. An estimated 90,000 Jews, gypsies, and homosexuals died in this camp. This guy is not an outlier. There are hundreds of similar images. Here is a guy who surrendered at the Avastel steel plant in Mariupol. And here is an unconfirmed video of two men sporting German SS uniforms. Notice the death head emblem on the cap of the guy closest to the camera. The men embracing these tattoos and badges are not simply making a fashion statement. It is an affirmation of belief and should be taken seriously instead of being dismissed as meaningless. Now, there's a much deeper story going on here, and we don't wholeheartedly endorse Putin, but we do know that he is said to be a Christian, and he is defending nationalism and the Russian Orthodox Christian Church. He is defending his borders from the NATO incursions that kept coming and kept coming. And finally, in Finland, it was pretty bad, the threats. Now, on the Stu Peters show, a recent interview with Edward Zoll, that great investigative reporter, this is what came out, that this Azov battalion, and remember, this is the neo-Nazi battalion, they have a black sun emblem of the Nazis. And this shooter in Buffalo, this was his emblem. And he said that he was against anyone who was against the Ukraine war. Isn't that interesting? But we think that they've tried to paint him as a fanatic on the right side, but this is a leftist. And the second thing is that this Azov battalion is connected with blood sacrifice and the pagan Nazi symbols, you see, and there were reports of cannibalism among these neo-Nazis. And you'd have to hunt the internet to verify all this. But we also know that there were other reports that Edward Zoll brought forward of the CIA Nazi connection, you see, with these militias. This was the story that these men gave out fake banknotes to children that were seeded with tuberculosis, and that there were experiments done on psychiatric patients. And there was worry, you see, by Putin about the well-being of the waters near Russia. We know that this documentary, Watch the Water, about the possible snake venom in the shots, it has gone viral all over the world. So you see, these bioweapons labs, that's what Putin wants to destroy, because they can threaten and harm his people. Why shouldn't he defend his people? Why doesn't Biden defend all of us? Why is Biden closing down all of the oil industry? Why do we not have the baby formula coming, except to the illegals who are coming on the border? Use your brain. Use your brain. I don't know whether we have time to say anything more tonight, but there is a lot. There was an expose of Dr. Oz, too. Do you have anything on that, Lou, quickly?
I do. Let me...
Now, we don't know. Yes, report the latest on the election between the two candidates, quickly.
The last time I checked, it was a virtual tie between Dr. Oz and the other front runner. Can't think of his name.
So they'll have to have a runoff, you thought.
Well,
and now,
I think they'll have to have, at the very least, a recount.
Okay. And now, quickly, tell what the latest connection is. We talked before about him being connected with Dr. Garofalo, the surgeon who promotes the gender surgery for little children, young teenagers. And now there's a connection with the World Economic Forum.
That's
Give us what you can from that.
Yes, from LifeSite News, May 16th. A fact check. Dr. Oz is connected to the World Economic Forum, the group behind the Great Reset. Ahead of Pennsylvania's Republican Senate primary election on Tuesday, posts circulating online have drawn attention to the fact that Dr. Mehmet Oz, a celebrity physician and TV host vying for the GOP nomination, has connections to the World Economic Forum. And the WEF is a left-wing lobbying group known for hosting international government and business elite.
Yes, and get to what he was called, a young global, what was that later in the article, young global leader of promise, something like that?
Yes, I'm trying to get my eyes on that exact name. Can't seem to find it, but you're right. Something very close to that.
Something close to that. So you see all these wolves in sheep's clothing.
Here it is. He was a global leader of tomorrow.
Yeah, and now tomorrow is today.
Yes, right.
Yes, and he promoted a lot of the transgender and I think abortion, the surgery, the surgeries of the LGBT.
Young people,
yes, it's so bad. Well, we are running out of time, but we have a lot of important information. Send people to hear this program in our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com, and God bless you and help you. Good night.